Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion of the live super stream. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax. He is J.C. Sherbert, and we have a special guest today, and we are happy to welcome back to the program Shane Beamer Day, SEC Media Day's darling, Chris Marler.
Yes.
The clowns are people, too, is the intro? That's tough for me, guys. That's
don't
tough.
Take, now, please take no offense. Please take, that I was will. Not directed
yeah,
at you.
That song's on iTunes, by the way.
You is it really?
You can download
it
is, that.
Yes. That's, I love that.
For the intro.
For 99 cents?
No.
That's fantastic.
Pay. I mean, unless you're not an Apple Music member.
Yeah, that's I have no
idea. Big Spotify guy. But I appreciate you guys.
It's on Spotify too, Chris.
Love it.
I have an echo, Phil.
I'm hearing it too. I don't know.
Is it me?
It might be you. Hold on. I'm trying to fix it.
Turn down your radio. I'll be like the
spring. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hot else. Turn down your radio, please. Oh. All right. So what we're going to start off with today is something very important. And that is Peter Cetera. and so I'm gonna we're gonna Phil's got a little video of an amazing artist that I've recently come across on Instagram. If you're listening at home, it's probably better to watch it. So here we go.
It's a little loud.
It breaks my heart to see you cry.
Incredible.
It's so good.
I love that the two retweets are y'all. It's so good.
So JC sent me that the other night. I was like, that's the strongest argument for data centers I've ever heard or seen ever.
Well, what's so funny is y'all sent it to me and I was like, I don't know if I should tell them this, but I do feel like y'all are weird like me. And I was like, that's already in my algorithm. Like, that's already, I've seen, whenever somebody said you something like that, it's like, oh, I've actually seen this. Because you feel bad about saying it, but that was fantastic.
So, Peter, what's your favorite Peter Cetera song? It could be one with Chicago. And why is it Glory of Love?
So, I have a very strong feeling and frustration with the band Chicago, because 25 or 624 is one of my favorite songs of all time. And then something happened. They took like the REO Speedwagon route and it was like, nah, bro, we're doing only love songs from here on out. Like, it was like, remember when REO, I might be dating myself here. Remember when REO Speedwagon had Ride in the Storm out, like the live version? It's like that song like rules with a Z. And then they're like, no, man, we're doing only love songs forever and ever after this. I hate that.
That's something else. Yeah, Phil, try Mike muting his mic while we're talking.
Oh, my bad, guys.
Oh, it's okay. It's like a laptop speaker feeding into the mic kind of thing.
Can you do that?
I can. It's all right, good.
Yeah, that fixed it. So yeah. we'll just go. All right, fix it. Mute him again. All right, good. While we're talking, Phil, and then while he's talking, we'll do that, but we'll go back and forth. It's fine. It's not your fault, Chris.
Jeez, I'm going to have to actually produce this thing?
Yes, you're going to have to push buttons, friend.
Here?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, REO Speedwagon got kind of, you know, like that song Climb. My wife loves that song. I liked it when I was in sixth grade. Had a crush on this girl from church. Her dad was my barber. Yeah, we just won't talk about that. But that song came on when I was in the barber chair. Maybe he is the dentist. I don't know. But, yeah, it didn't work out, obviously. Stephanie, I hope you're doing well. I love you. I'm just kidding.
She's coming on the show.
Exactly. So, we'll get to this Lane Kiffin thing. So this was great, what you put out there. Lane Kiffin basically saying, they ask him, you know, because he's at LSU, a lot of new players. How's your offense going to, you know, we heard it's easy to learn and all that. And it is. Lane Kiffin, when he went to Ole Miss, started putting up numbers right away, right? We'll play it real quick and then kind of get your take on it, and I'll give you mine. I'd like to discuss it a little bit.
Lane, here in the back, you've spoken before about how your offense is easy to acclimate to during your first year at Ole Miss in 2020. What is it about your scheme that makes it easy for players to adapt to, and how does that benefit Sam Leavitt after missing spring?
Yeah, when we made the change, when we went to FAU and we brought in Ken O'Brows and we started adding the Baylor elements of the ultra tempo, we had started at Alabama to do fast stuff, but to go to the next level of it. When we did that, in that system, to go that fast, you have to simplify what you do terminology-wise, because it's part of how you get everybody to go fast. So there's not a lot of signals. There's not a lot of verbiage. In that, you actually made the system extremely, without even knowing at the time we were doing it, because the portal really hadn't started for the most part, but I think grads, is that you were making a system that really players should come in really fast and learn. And I think it credits to a lot of people's first year transfer success on offense. We've got all kinds of receiver stories, you know, starting outside receivers last year. So Trinidad got to us in the summer. When does that ever happen? You know, before that, a summer quarterback comes in and can play that well and learn an offense. So a lot of that has to do with how we've made the system, the terminology. And then now with the helmet-to-helmet communication, it's taken it to even another level where it's easier for someone to play early, especially at that position.
All right, Chris. I ask you to just take that, and you know, you had some comments on X about it, and then just kind of talk to me about this as far as your reflect. I mean, I've said a lot on this subject, but I'd like to hear what you have to say.
I think first and foremost, it's interesting that this is the second time he's brought this up organically without anyone asking about Kendall Briles. It's just Kiffin saying, hey, you know, like people asking in Baton Rouge specifically, because like everyone here is just like, coach, like, I mean, like they're fired up for it, right? And it's one of those things too where it's kind of similar to South Carolina where you know that you're going to be better at least in one aspect, and that's offense, because the offense last year was so horribly bad. And so there's really nowhere to go but up. And so when they ask the questions about, you know, what makes this offense so, like, you know, up tempo, and what, how have you had so much success, and all these kind of like low hanging fruit questions, this is multiple times he's brought up Kendall Briles as not like, oh, Kendall had some input on this. It's like, no, we run our practices and we run our entire system based on what Kendall Briles brought to the table for us when we first met at FAU. And I remember I asked him, I think in the spring, I was like, it just feels like they're getting way more reps, like not just reps, but like quality reps in the spring. Is that by design because you only have 15 practices, or is it like, and he's like, no, that's Kendall Briles brought that to us. That's how we started running our practices without like, so I think when you talk about South Carolina and I hate to say this because I've said it before about the offensive line and I was somehow wrong, but it's like, it can't get any worse. And I think with some of the play calling and stuff like that last year, I think that Sellers is going to get dinged for this with the NFL draft when he goes in and says, oh, you know, he's playing in a system that's like, he doesn't have to read the defenses and blah, blah, blah. Like someone will ultimately make some, I think, misguided comment about that, but he is going to play in a system finally that is catered to his skill set and not having to go up and read the defense and say 52 is the mic. Can you imagine how stupid you would feel if you're Lenora Sellers going up behind that offensive line last year and be like, 52 is the mic. It's like, yeah, dude, he's got like 8 sacks on you today. Of course he's the mic. Like he's been in the backfield more than Matthew Fuller for most of the afternoon. And so I think the frustrating part for South Carolina fans is you look at what the offense did last year and you're like, hopefully Mazio Bennett steps up, or hopefully this person takes the next step, or hopefully some of these freshmen come in. And now I almost wonder if maybe some of like the lack of, I don't want to say development, because that's not the case, but like you were so dependent on your success being like, these freshman receivers really have to hit, and these guys, like Nick Harbor can't do it all on his own, and Lenore's got to put on the cape every single week. And now you kind of wonder, it's like, well, maybe the system they were in was what limited the growth of some of those players and not being able to see the field. And now, like, you talked to Harbor when we were in Tampa for media days, and one of the things he kept saying was like, there's so much more freedom in this offense. and everything just feels so much more relaxed. And it's like, I've been working on it with my therapist, guys. I keep telling Dr. Rocky, I got to let go of the Mike Shula thing. I'm trying my best. But it does, you look at this and you're like, what were you doing when you saw all this talent last year that's still back again? And somehow underdeveloped that much and underwhelmed that much. But I don't think that's going to be the case with Kendall Browse. The Kendall Browse thing is going to be awesome.
It's okay. He can't hurt you anymore, Chris. It's all right.
Yes, we're very empathetic about that. So, yeah, look, here's my thing about it, too. Athletes in any sport will tell you, the players will say, when we play free, we play well. And even in the most disciplined systems, Nick Saban's defense, right? That's not hard. We talked about that earlier, how difficult that is to grasp. There's an element of mastery that is achieved, and then they go play free, and it's a thing of beauty. I don't know why the NFL draft guys, and I agree with you completely, it's coming. They don't like Bryles or Randy Clements, as we saw with the stupid Randy Clements. The NFL draft, what's his, the he has like something called the O-line factory or something, some trainer. I don't like this drill. What are they teaching? And Clements kind of alluded to it. There's probably some history there. It's in Texas. But look, man, that's why they're dinging them, because the NFL guys hate this. It's like, you know, and I don't, hey, look, he played for Dowell Loggins and Mike Shula. He's had that training. He'll be fine. That's my take on it. I think he needs production. But you're right. You know, running backs, tight ends, receivers, Chris, I've never really seen them succeed at the college level in an offense that has like just a ton of structure, unless you're like at a Northwestern or someplace like that.
Yeah, it's like Darnell Autry. It's like, I mean, like, I hate to date myself again, but yeah, you're right. Like, I think the thing too that's so frustrating is when mainly because last year, I think that the biggest thing that you're going to see a difference in, and I've told this story a bunch. It's my favorite Kiffin story that we're allowed to talk about on air. And that is, I remember Kiffin, when he came to Bama, there was a conversation they had after they lost the kick six game. Right. And so Saban comes in, he's like, you know, sky's falling, like, fix the offense. Like, what's going on? They had like they had the ball five times inside like the 30 yard line or something. And so he's sitting there with Doug Nussmeier and they're going over the offense and this, that. And he's like, listen, guys, this is like very simple. And he puts up five numbers on the board and he's like, and it was, I mean, granted, it was like Derrick Henry, T.J. Yeldon, Amari Cooper, like all, you know, pretty like O.J. Howard. And it was like, get these guys the ball and get them the ball as much as possible. Like, it's that simple of a fix. And like, I think when you talk about Bryles, one of the big things from last year that all of us are trying to wrap our head around was like Matthew Fuller rips off that 72-yard run against LSU and doesn't get the ball again. And so I think you have a lot of questions about who are going to be the guys that step up. And I think you're going to have a lot more production across the entire offense. But I think you're also going to see four to five guys that Bryles is not going to like force the ball to, but like they're going to have a lot of volume, getting a lot of whether it be carries or receptions or targets. And I think that's going to be a big difference too.
Yeah. I think one thing he does, some of the OCs that have been here, They haven't really given these guys a chance. I mean, like, look, last year, and I know Beamer was happy about the drive to end the Kentucky game. I hated it. I thought, you know, Sellers had 14 attempts the whole night against a secondary that at the time couldn't stop anybody. No offense, Quasheed Scott. But, I mean, you know, Little Norris needed to throw. I mean, they were about to go, you know, they had had a really good week throwing it at Missouri. And I just thought it was counterproductive to go 3 yards for, you know, and try to prove some point. But that's okay. We can agree to – he and I can agree to disagree on that. But it just seemed like previously, you know, there wasn't the situation like Spurrier where, all right, Marcus is get hot, let's give it to Marcus. Alshon is hot, let's get it to Alshon. Throw it up high to Sydney, that kind of thing, right?
No, I agree. And I think like there's something to be said for getting the ball to like dispersing the football. Like, Georgia does a great job of that. Like Georgia, that 2021 run, I think they had like, I think eight guys with multiple catches in every single game in like their last 8-9 games. Like, that's awesome. That's great. Mike Bobo, underrated coordinator, whatever. I think, again, and I hate to say this because it sounds so negative, but the bar is just so low. It's like just go score points. Did you see the graphic that Tom Fornelli put up yesterday, oh my God. Unreal. And like, not only were you not getting to the red zone, and then you weren't scoring when you got there. And then I hate to bring this up, but it's like it's such a confidence boost in my eyes, where it's like, hey, what's the biggest difference you're going to see this year versus last year? And it's not like all the buzzwords of like, well, the trench play and like the physicality, and they're going to do it. It really is. I'm not trying to be funny or mean to Mike Shula. I'm not trying to be one of those things. But it's the lack of like stupidity and stubbornness that I think you're going to see this year, where it's like, you know, last year you saw the graphic about not getting to the red zone, and then you play Oklahoma and you get to the red zone. It's like, watch this, brother. We're going to run the ball right down their throat. It's like, no, it's the best defense in the SEC. Get creative here. Like, so then when you get to the red zone, you have this weird bang your head against the wall type of stubbornness. And I think you're just not going to see that anymore. And I said this yesterday, and I got kind of roasted about it in the comments, which was like, I'm not saying that that Briles is a top 10 offensive coordinator. I don't necessarily believe that. That's not a negative indictment of like him not being a good coordinator. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if he's top 10. He's a really good offensive coordinator, though, and you don't need him to be a top 10 offensive coordinator. You need him to go out there and put up 30 points, you know, in games way more often than not, and be able to sustain drives and keep the defense rested and like not have so many three and outs. And again, the bar, I hate to sound like a broken record. Anybody that's listened to my shows heard me scream this repeatedly, but like the numbers on like third down, brother, just get me to third and four. I don't like how many, I think 34% of our third downs last year were third and 10 or longer. That's crazy. Like that's not a recipe for success with anyone in any offense. And so I just think there's so much, it's so much of a increase in like all the things that just seem to make sense, that it's hard for me to think that you're going to fail this year in comparison to last year.
Yeah, I think it's simple. Get the ball to your guys that can make plays. And there's enough options there to where they'll emerge, if not in practice, in games. Stan Drayton was talking about an alpha back taking over. I think that's going to take care of itself in games. So it's just one of those things. All right. We have got to get you out of here. I know you have something to get to, but we'll do this again really soon. Final thoughts on practice, just about 30 seconds on what you're hoping to hear besides no injuries, because that's pretty obvious.
What I'm hoping to hear besides no injuries. I'm interested to see what the receivers do. I'm interested to see the linebacker depth. And then the freshman. I think that Clement's saying that Darius Gray, they're going to find whatever avenue gets him on the field as quickly as possible. I think that's super interesting. Whether that's a depth piece or not, I'm interested in those things. The linebacker depth is going to be interesting as well, because you don't need to have six guys rotating in that 4-2-5. But I do wonder who the fourth guy is going to be, or fourth or fifth guy is going to be in that.
Right now former walk-on Jamie Edwisher. Okay. Marler, Chris, appreciate it, man. Keep doing the good work. Keep doing the Lord's work out there, man. Really appreciate you. It's the Locked On Gamecocks podcast. If you want to check it out on the Locked On Podcast Network, we're big fans of his. He's big fans of ours. At least he tells us that, I think.
I am. I appreciate it, boys. All right, man. Yeah, I'm sorry, we got to cut it short. Time.
No, it's all good. You go take care of your business, and we are good to go. And we'll see you again real soon, man.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, so we managed. That's good. That was good stuff.
We got through it. We got through it.
Yeah.
It's
depending on what kind of computer you had, if you're on that end of it, you don't even notice it.
No, he probably didn't hear any of it at all, right? Because it was coming through his speakers. But that's all right. We worked it out.
That's the deal there. We promised you a McKellar Enterprises chat box, and we're going to do it.
You want to hit a break right quick and then just,
I guess,
chat box it out? Yeah.
Chat box it out. We'll go right through to the end. But yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, what Lane Kiffin said. That's good. And if you think about Kendall Briles and kind of the influence on different offenses, I mean, Josh Heupel did not run what he's running at Tennessee at Missouri. What was the difference? Jeff Levy was his OC at UCF. And it was completely different what he did at what he did in Tennessee. It looks the same because it's kind of this big old spread with tempo, But that run game's a lot different than what they were doing at Missouri and things like that. Lane Kiffin's offense is different than what he was running at Bama, too.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I think it makes sense for South Carolina to do it because it's not just a passing. I mean, it's a run-based system. Yeah. I think it makes sense for Shane Beamer. I think it makes sense to go to D's Wings.
Always.
West Columbia, proud sponsor of Inside the Gamecocks. Also, Gamecock Traditions. Check them out. Don't forget the big special on Gamecock Central and the Big Spur. Pay us what it costs to get an AI program per month these days. And you don't have to pay again until we're talking about who in the heck is going to start at linebacker because everybody went pro next year at this point in time. And get all the good. I mean, it's going to be a very eventful year in University of South Carolina athletics, regardless of what happens. And you won't find a special, you won't be able to pay this little for that much moving forward. Limited time, so get on it today. It's GamecockCentral.com, TheBigSpur.com on Ohm 3. You get all that. One low price. Don't pay again until a year from now. We'll be back after this. McKellar Enterprises chat. It's fine. On the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a wide open Thirsty Thursday. That's right. We're going to dive into the McKellar Enterprises chat box that we did not get to appropriately acknowledge on wide open Wednesday. So hop in. You got 31 minutes to jump in. And you only have 5 days left to join the Big Spur right now for $2.49 per day. What was that? $29.99 for an entire year. I mean, the deals don't get any better than that, JC. I don't know what more to say.
I don't know what to say. I am so freaking fired up about the deal.
Other than I think next week, Deputy Smitty. Will be
we got Deputy. It was his birthday yesterday.
It was.
Happy birthday, Deputy Smitty. I actually texted him and told him happy birthday. Soft spot in my heart for Deputy Smitty simply because he's from Spartanburg.
That's right.
Actually, he does great work. He's always a great, great guest. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about some of the personnel on this team. I know he's really high on defensive tackle Troy Pikes, but he's been breaking film down. Loving it, loves the offense, all that kind of stuff. So I can't wait to hear him there. Cockwheat in the McKellar Enterprises chat box says, I sound like a knight who says knee. That's about when we had the echoes, right? I am sorry about that. That was, but we handled it pretty well, Phil.
We got through
the interview. Sometimes if there's an interview like that and you have a great guest like Chris, you don't want to like say, get your stuff fixed and whatever. Because they're not aware of it, and so you just go through, and it's all and the audience just drops off one by one, and but yeah, we identified the problem real time, and executed a fix. I'm proud of us.
That's right, just like an effective offense.
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Let's be a part of it.
It's for Ghostbusters. We need to play the Brad Scott candy ketchup commercial every day. Is there a way to do that?
I'm sure we could. We found it, right?
I sent it to you and Jamie on text. I mean, I forgot at the end. It goes, good old burgers, dogs, hot dogs. He didn't say no, just hot dogs, burgers. And he goes, and he winks. You know, he looks like when he winks, he looks like if you've ever been to Spartanburg, you ever seen the Wade sign? With a wink, Wade. I guess that's Wade. Hell, I don't know. And he's like, and Tigers. Justin says, next time I fall in love is the best Peter Cetera song. I've got an affinity for that one, too. I like that one as well. Sometimes, never mind. I'm not even like, I don't want to go there. That's But that guy with, so that particular Instagram account we showed you. With the old school Olin Mills photo thing, and then dude, he does the never ending story, and it's amazing.
Oh, I've seen that one too. That's so good.
That was epic. Also, we may or may not play this tomorrow. I'm trying to think. It's kind of a little sticky subject matter, but I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. So there's a guy called Scumbag Card Collector out there. And he's from Boston. So he's got this thick Boston accent. He's like, yeah, this guy's a scumbag. And blah, 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 blah. And we got the cards here. And he's got like OJ Simpson sports cards, Aaron Hernandez.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. Like when, because it was a box reveal, right?
And yeah, it's a box reveal. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh yeah, it's going to be somebody, you know, like some murderer. He's got like, you know, like a signed OJ something, you know? And then when he opened that box to what it was, dude, oh my God.
I was here alone. I had to call my wife. Cause I just couldn't, I mean, I like laughed my butt. I mean, I couldn't help it. But we'll probably get, I'm going to set you guys up for that now.
That's right.
And we'll talk about it tomorrow because if you just look at it, you may or may not be disturbed. I laugh because I kind of knew, oh, scumbag. But he's got, OJ said he's got a Ray Rice collection.
Yeah. Yes.
He's got a Deshaun Watson collection.
Hey, it is college football related though, JC.
Yeah,
it definitely it's on topic.
College football related. Man, woo, shoe buddy. But we'll talk. I think I'll green light that for tomorrow when Matt's in here.
Yeah, there you but go.
Get ready. Go check out Scumbag Card Collectors. Blake went back and watched the Bama game from last year. And why in the world did we not ram Matt Fuller down everyone's front door last year? He's a problem to bring down. Yeah, when he had blocking, he was between the tackles. And then against Ole Miss, they ran him wide. I think first play of the game, he got 5 yards on a little end around. And I remember thinking, well, they got, I don't want to say lucky. I was like, well, yeah, that's a good little tricky thing. Don't do that again. And then on 4th and 1, they dialed it up.
Right.
5 yard loss. So, okay. So Harrison has a good point about the O-line criticism fiasco with Randy Clements during spring.
Oh my goodness.
Harrison says, my favorite dude who critiqued the Clements O-line drill back in spring was Ohio State's club football team's O-line coach. Yeah. And my man put it in his bio.
Yeah.
And when he was critiquing, he's like, as an offensive line coach, I have no idea why you're doing this. And I'm like, I looked and said, Ohio State. I was like, was this an analyst? And he's like, no.
No, yeah.
He coaches the O-line on the club football team. Ethan asks, between Bryles, Clements, and Drayton, which coaching staff addition is going to make the biggest impact to this team? It's hard to say anybody but Kendall Bryles, Ethan, because he's the man with the plan.
Yeah, it's the straw that stirs the drink there.
Now look, I'll say this. Maybe in overall team areas, because Drayton's the associate head coach. And is a heck of an addition in a lot of ways. You know, so I could – I see your point there with Drayton being an impact, but just the change, the 180 with how they were going to do offense, not what it's the how part of it is going to be very refreshing. Big Slamma Jamma said, I had a flashback of the sicko level substitutions a few years ago. It was like every play. Yeah. They substituted too much last year too, but that's NFL guys. I mean, NFL dudes do that. I don't blame Mike Shula.
No,
I mean, I don't really like Marcus Satterfield. He should have known better. He was only up there for a year. So was Kurt Roper. What happens? I mean, and I know what happens. These guys love football, and they. Mm-hmm. I'll say this: Marcus Satterfield and Kurt Roper have forgotten more about the sport of football than I will ever know. I'll admit that. You know, I couldn't do what they might. You know, I'm not. But sometimes in football, people overthink it, and they did. You know, so instead of coming back and being like, okay, this is college ball again. That's all nice stuff. Like, wouldn't it be cool if, bop, 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 bop.
Right, yes.
You don't think about anything else. But, yeah, you know, but Shula, I don't think, was trying to do that. Shula was just doing what he's known because he hadn't called plays in college in 18 years.
Right.
And they weren't, and they didn't really just translate the Dowell Loggins playbook. You know, they kind of came up with a new one, and then the actual calling of it was kind of rough. But in the NFL, you're not in the college and high school, like Chris pointed out, and like we talked about with Jamie, you're attacking until they stop it. In the NFL, you have to assume that they are going to stop it the next time. So it's all about like what you don't do as opposed to what you do do. Those offenses up there at that level, though, may look boring, but when they get clicking, they're not. Like, you look at, like, Ben Johnson with the Bears, and he's I said this before, Bears and Bengals were playing last year. Neither – they had, like, injuries and stuff. Both offenses had the other defenses dead to rights. They weren't stopping anybody. It was a 49-46 game or something like that. The mastery and beauty of those play calls when nobody was stopping them was unbelievable. Like, better than anything you ever see at college, right? Mm-hmm. But in the NFL, it's like more about what you don't do because of the talent level and all that. In college, you attack. Finally, I think you got a guy that wants to do that. So there we go, big slam of jam. And third and short, maybe don't go shotgun. A lot of people go shotgun on third and short still, and they're effective doing it. But, you know, sometimes I don't know, man. Craig said, I told y'all Darius Gray is going to be too good not to play. He could be. Ethan says starting him at right guard. I don't think he's going to beat out Kojo Poku. Now, could you move Poku to left and Gray starts at right? Could he beat out Hank Purvis?
Mm.
Maybe a long term. Chris Clark thinks he's a pro center. I think center in the pros is probably a good move for him.
Are you kind of projecting Surratt at right tackle, assuming Peak is on the field? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Peak is on the bit. And if not, I think going into practice, and you know, Seth Smith had a pretty good offseason too, so he'll factor back in, that they would move Surratt, who worked at left with Peak out during spring, and that they would slide Dane Arnett, the Ferris State transfer, in it right. Maybe. But you know, man, in preseason, Seth Smith may blow up. You know, you don't know what Vincent Chin is going to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Vincent Chin's not a freshman. I mean, he's coming in from Stetson, and best days are ahead of him, so you don't know what he's going to do. Darius Gray's factoring in. Damola Ejidihun, they moved him inside. He played a lot inside, and he's big as a house. He could factor. Mm-hmm. You got Boo Boo, the kid from Missouri State, so it's going to be pretty interesting. But I think left guard for Gray, Ethan, but we'll see. Bruin says there's a strong possibility three true freshmen will be starting by week 5 or 6. Currents, Gray, Walker, possible.
Yeah.
Possible. I hope Caleb Herring has a really good year. And he's tracking toward that. But it may just be Bruin that, you know, these guys are just better. I hope David Busey has a good year. I hope Hank Purvis or whoever Gray could potentially supplant has a good year. So, all right. So T-Far said if they were going to do the show in frozen pizza brands, who would we be? And Phil, you know who I am.
What is the
wife
Tony's
declared it.
That's right. Tony's Pizza.
So one day they were like,
there are narratives that are much older.
Tony's Pizza in the 90s when we saw sit around and party, you know, one day I guess I looked like Tony's Pizza. Maybe in the time I'd have a mustache. And Phil's what? Phil's what? They said they called me Tony's Pizza. So I gotta be Tony's Pizza. I think Phil's a good DiGiorno. Because he's quick-witted. If it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
If it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. DiGiorno,
you know, that's a Phil one-liner. Jamie's probably California Pizza. Or yeah. Mike Morgan, one of those two. You know, I don't know.
Now, I feel Mike's that one that's made out of, like, the veggie crust.
The veggie
crust? Right, yeah, because he's not a big cheese guy. So it's got to have, like, a healthy...
He's not, but he would kill it. He's a no veggie crust
no
for
veggie
me.
No veggie crust. Yeah, that's true.
All right, Tristan said, so JC, you were talking about Brooks Alston the other day and the mistakes. I rewatched the and Vandrevious Jacobs' mistakes. I watched the Bama game the other night and the failed 2-point conversion. It was Vandrevious Jacobs who did something wrong pre-play. Yeah, he made some mistakes last year. Vandrevious was good playing, but he did make some mistakes, and hopefully he cleans those up at Miami. I don't think Vendrevious Jacobs was a loafer or a guy that didn't care. I think a lot of guys made mistakes last year because they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's important, folks, knowing what to do. A quarterback's going to look like crap when he's not certain.
Yeah, because the 15-word play call, he missed one word. If it weren't for that word, he'd be doing the right thing, but that one little wrinkle he missed.
Meredith asked about my annual special teams talk, usually 10 days before the season, Meredith.
That's right. Yeah, we've kind of hit it and quit it, Meredith, but it's coming.
Harrison said, me and Phil overcame the adversity on the field and the Will Muschamp voice. Dude, there's a wild, Connor O'Gara has a wild, wild Will Muschamp story on X. I just retweeted it from the Big Spur on 3 account a little while ago. Connor O'Gara's interviewed Jarrett Lee, who played quarterback at LSU, and I guess Muschamp was at Auburn. Jarrett Lee, you know, Muschamp had recruited him and stuff. He knew him pretty well, and Lee runs out of bounds. Auburn people are like Auburn defenders are chasing him. And he said, Muschamp full sprint runs over in like the Muschamp fired up voice. He looks like he's gonna kill somebody and yells, break his effing legs.
Woo! Woo-hoo. No.
Man, oh man. That guy. I'll tell you. You know, at Carol, it's kind of like Spurrier at Carolina. We didn't get the swashbuckling, needling. Spurrier was kind of just like funny at Carolina. Like in Florida, though, Carolina didn't get the Will Muschamp that was at Florida either. They got, now, trust me, I think at times they did, you know, behind the scenes. But he, I'll tell you what, though, his last year, 2020, I think everybody that would care about Will Muschamp letting some bad words fly on the air. Is probably glad he had to wear a mask.
Right.
So Brian says, first time being in the chat since baseball season, I'm going to say this Gamecock team may be the toughest team to predict. See, it could be downright good or really struggle. Can't wait to see. Yeah. It's that way in the SEC every year. So, Cam wants Darius Gray to play fullback in the jumbo Gamecock package. So Micah says, pop it on late. Can we discuss how much of a problem it is that we can go 9-3 and 0-24 and Vandy went 10-2 last year, but neither of us made the playoffs? What happens when five SEC teams go 9-3? That's the direction of the SEC. UGA, LSU, and Texas will get in 10-2. Then four or five teams will hit 9-3. We won't get picked over the brands. When do the mid-tier programs of the SEC realize this? Everybody needs to realize this. It's the way they pick the college football playoff. It sucks. Yeah. And they need some kind of expansion for it. But, you know, and it was stupid to go to 9 games. Why?
Right.
Why? Everybody in the league is, I mean, you know, tell the Big Ten to go jump in a hole. All right, so what are you complaining about if you're the Big Ten? Kentucky? The way they schedule?
I mean, yeah, who are you pointing to, really?
I mean, dude, Georgia had like Clemson and Florida State and Georgia Tech and then Marshall as their non-conference scheduled one year in the future. People are playing Ohio State and Michigan. Missouri's going to take road trips to San Diego State, which will get your butt beat. Missouri went to Wyoming a few years back and got beat.
I mean, Mississippi State's going to Minnesota this year.
They're going to Minnesota, and they scheduled Washington State home and home.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody in the league was scheduling up, you know, that mattered. Kentucky wasn't. Everybody else was. Even Florida, that has Florida State every year, would play Miami. Carolina had Miami. That was the opener. Why go to 9 games? Because they told you to? Stupid.
I know.
So I just don't get it. Brett likes Tombstone Pizza, by the way. So, Quantrell said Mike is Red Baron Pizza. I like that for Mike Morgan.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, that I like that too.
I like that a whole lot. SC Lama says Totino's. Micah says the pathway Indiana used to rise is actually what South Carolina needs. Kentucky did the same. The old way to rise in college football was to schedule light until you're ready to take a step up. Mid-tier SEC programs are screwed. Well, you can't do anything about the SEC schedule, you know. Non-conference, you can't do anything about Clemson. I don't even entertain that from certain folks, like that want to cancel the Clemson series.
No, I mean, what do you? Yeah.
Big Slam of Jamma says Sankey got fleeced. He did, and he's been getting fleeced.
Yeah, he's been getting
fleeced because you know how it was sold to everybody, including the coaches, was, well, if you go to 9, then they're going to agree on a 16-team playoff, and they didn't. When are you going to learn? I mean, yeah, guess who else trusted the Big Ten? The Pac-12.
That's right.
And guess what? They're celebrating because they added Texas State. Right.
That's right. They've been on life support after pulling the knife from their back.
They went right along with everything. Oh, yeah, we'll do the Rose Bowl. No problem, Big Ten. Oh, you want to cancel college football, you know, in 2020? Yes, we agree. We're going to cancel it, too. Let them straight to the gates of hell and kicked them in. And then tinkled on them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So it's just awful. Quantrell says Sankey's cashing checks, building a heated in-ground jacuzzi, too. I don't know if I've ever told this story. I'm going to tell it. It's funny. One time, a friend, lifelong friend, you know, he calls me up. He's having a hard time. He's like, he's got 4 kids, right? Lives down in another state. And needed to borrow $2,500. You know, now, this is a friend that I keep up with on the phone and social media. I haven't been to his house. I don't know where, you know, what it was. I felt bad for him. So I gave him the $2,500, and then he never paid me back. And he said he would. And that's just fine. You don't lose friendships over that unless it happens often. So I got curious one day and Zillowed. I looked up his property record and Zillowed where he lived. He has a fountain. It's like this McMansion out in the middle of some southern state with a fountain and a circular driveway, brick, 3 stories.
Jeez.
I didn't even look at the back porch. I was so sick. There's probably an in-ground jacuzzi back there.
That's Quantrill. Right. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like sitting there going, I don't have a fountain. I don't have a fountain at all. I'm about to move in with my mother-in-law, man.
Yeah. Right.
Not because of money, but for other reasons. But you know, it's like, wow, a fountain. I mean, maybe save some dough by not running. And you know, don't run the fountain.
Don't
and,
yeah, turn
your
the fountain
water
off.
Bill may be high.
That's right. That's power and water you're using.
McJunkin says, last year you had special teams talk early in the season. Bomb. Don't do that this year. Stay on script, please.
Yes. Yeah.
Stay on script. I was excited about last year's opening. I'm excited about it's like I was excited because I was going to see it, going to Atlanta and hanging out with JB
right.
and Phil and Dina and my wife was coming. I was excited to get to that point because I had to sit through Lockport High School football up here. Good God. And, but you know, it's, this year I'm looking forward to it from a sense of not, oh, it's a big fun time. It will be fun. Game days are always fun. College football is always fun. I just want to see, it. We didn't have a spring game to kind of get a taste of what it was going to be. And so we're all like looking forward to that. I don't care if it's Kent State. I don't care who they're playing. I'm like, I want to see because my theory is it's going to be a lot different and a lot better. So, you know, Big Slam and Jamma said I knew we were screwed after game one. There were some concerns in that one. But then, I mean, you never know because you get the whole like, well, what were they, you know? But game 2, SC State, I was like, oh, my God. You know, and I said all week they have to get better to beat Vandy. And things looked a little better early in that one, and then ill-timed interception. And then he gets hurt, and then that was a bad weekend, ladies and gentlemen. So, Sankey would have probably fallen for Jim Delaney's effort to mandate the College World Series have a Northern team representation every year. I wouldn't mind that in baseball. I mean, let them play a lesser number of games. Let them come and be. I mean, we do that in football with the G5 and the automatic qualifiers in basketball. So it's cannon fodder. I don't know. What do they do now, though, Cockweed, with baseball? Is UCLA a Northern team now all of a sudden? What about Oregon? They're Northern, but their climate's not as cold as the Midwest or Northeast. But, yeah, I could see everybody doing that. I don't know what the Big Ten – I'm convinced it's like this. I think the Big Ten has if you talk to anybody in higher education, they have a great reverence for schools like the University of Wisconsin or Illinois or Iowa or Purdue or Indiana. Those schools are all like powerhouse academic research schools. A bunch of them are land grant schools.
Right.
With thousands of alums. They're huge.
Yeah.
And so if you work in academia, it's kind of like in sports journalism. There's an abnormal number of Missouri grads out there. You know, if you work in academia, chances are you got at least an undergrad, most of them a graduate degree from one of these schools. And so I think they have like this great reverence for the collective academic community in the Big Ten. And guess who's making those decisions about sports? The presidents.
That's right.
And gosh, the Big Ten said that. They're smarter than we are. Let's just do that.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe they're right.
No,
they're probably right.
Next to a Foga de Chow and near O'Hare. Nobody knows that. I mean, seriously, get off the highway to take my wife to brunch. You know, cause she meets her Thai friends up near O'Hare in Rosemont. That's the halfway point. Not a 35-minute drive. You get off the highway, get on the exit, you pull right up, you see a building, and you've got the Foga de Chow sign on one side and the Big Ten sign on the other. It's right across from a honky-tonk and a Harley-Davidson dealership.
I keep imagining it in my head as being in a strip mall. Maybe just because I want it to be. And that would be so much. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten down at the corner like Johnny's Hideaway.
That's right. Holding down that anchor spot in the strip mall.
Yeah. McKellar Enterprises.
Plaza, you know.
Chat box. Yeah, dude. I love that. Sankey, Quantrell says McMansions are going out of style. I kind of like them. I don't know if it's a wise purchase, though. I don't know. I'm waiting for housing prices to. I'm hoping they stay high until we get out of here, and then I'm just going to watch them plummet. They're already going down. I price them in South Carolina a lot. They're already going down quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Around here, there are certain places that you can, there are deals to be had, right? Yeah.
There was a place in on Pawleys Island, a golf cart. Like just a street from the beach, $3.99. It's like, what's wrong with it?
Right. Nothing. Yeah, right.
Just a beach house.
What is wrong with
this? What's wrong with that thing? Is it flood damage? Are there snakes? Snakes on a plane? What a great movie. TD Nelson says, do y'all think Dylan Stewart will be truly ready by Mississippi State? If he's not, I don't think he plays all year. Beamer has a tendency to not be forthcoming with injuries, and that worries me. Don't worry about that. Okay, and here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Dylan Stewart's going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be fine. And I'll tell you why. Because it's a back injury. If it were like a leg or, Muschamp used to name the body part. If he's got a head, he's got a toe. I would say, he's working out. He's progressing. Kind of like Rocket Sanders. I was always pretty confident he would be back. Because it's a back. And those things can just act up at any point in time, right? Beamer, it doesn't matter what Beamer says, Beamer could be telling, and I know for a fact he's telling the truth here about him and Pete both. He's not playing some cat and mouse game with it, but it's a back, TD Null. And so that's my thing about it is, you just don't know. You just don't know. I believe he'll play if he has no other setbacks, but with a back, you just don't know. I mean, like with Peak's injury, he's going to have to get back. He's going to have to trust it. He's going to have to get back to normal. The doctors are going to tell him when he can do it. But your back, there's so many people with back issues that just flare back up after surgery and stuff. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And then the type of player Dylan is, I just... that's my thing with it. It's not that I feel now Beamer. It's been a while since Beamer has kind of been that coy. I mean, I remember the Rick Sandage thing. What did he do? I mean, like last year, he said Judge Collier was hurt, but that he'll be back. And I think he even gave a time frame, 6 weeks or something. So he's getting better about that. But he doesn't just come out and say exactly what's wrong. So. I don't know. Craiger said, I knew when I couldn't figure out how to get a ticket on the MARTA, our season was screwed. Yeah, we all went together. You weren't the only one that was having issues.
It's all right. Don't let that. A lot of people just, you know, it's we don't have that around here, right? There is no mass transit, so we're good. It's all right.
Quantrell says, JC, they're building a Fogo de Chão in Uptown Charlotte. Always makes me laugh. Probably will only hire Big Ten alumni for staff. Probably so. And about the ACC could open their office next to it.
Well, that's what I was sitting there thinking, too. It was like, oh, no, that means they're about to strike a deal with ESPN.
Now, the ACC could be in a daggum. They could be in a – ACC would probably be like in a – like in an old house in a neighborhood, you know.
Hello. Yeah, it is. It's an old with a giant front porch and a shingle out front, right? Yeah.
Like the lawyers' offices in Columbia, some of them. Oh man, this is a great way to kind of wrap it here. to the new Purdue AD who came from Rice University. Rice was interested in Chance Miller for that gig when they hired the guy they did.
Interesting.
Yeah. Little tidbit there.
Rice, definitely more of an academic than an athletic institution.
Absolutely. Purdue AD said this in the press conference, Tommy McClelland. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana. Okay. See, everybody that prays out there tonight, say a little prayer and thank the good Lord, the Dr. Amorites, the Board of Trustees hired Jeremiah Donati as the AD. And I warned everybody that had pitchforks out and wanted to toss Ray Tanner to the side. I'm like, listen, there's a lot of clowns out there that are ADs. Okay, a lot of them. A lot.
Plenty.
And because these people were so mad at Ray, they didn't want to promote Chance Miller either, which Chance would have been fine. Actually very good. I was like, be careful, you know, about this. And thankfully, the Gamecocks hired somebody that is competent, good, understands sports, all that. But this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Even if you're talking about basketball, dude.
Right, yeah, right.
Purdue, Indiana's one. I mean.
What are you looking for? Another bowling trophy?
Yeah. McJunkin says, first drive of the year, I told my wife, go ahead and give Sellers the Heisman. Oh, me and Phil were in.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, man, if they keep this up, it's going to be a long season for everybody not named South Carolina.
That may have been the best 10 minutes of that whole year.
Right, right.
Up there, our wives looked good. They had their Gamecock stuff on. We had great seats. We could stretch out. We're right next to the bathroom and the bar.
Oh,
we weren't even in like a club level. We weren't even in a box or anything. It's just we lucked out. That drive was amazing.
Between that and the way Fred Johnson was playing his mind out, man. You know, it was like, oh, God, look at this. Bill of Goods.
Exactly. Contrast is 80s are chasing sound bites. God, we've lost the plot. Absolutely. Well, now it's actually the plot. It's the reality TV people that I think reality television has crept into all of our society. I think
that's right.
Politics and sports, college sports, all reality TV.
Between that and Hollywood remakes, because he was like, you know, he's trying to bring back the old Indiana doesn't win anything narratives.
I know. How about Purdue Pete? Purdue Pete, the old one, the scares rolling over in his grave.
That's right.
Purdue AD definitely wears comically cuffed khaki pants. Big slamajama ends it on that. All right, tomorrow's Friday. We're going to have Phil Steele's in tomorrow, right? Rafael Esparza is in tomorrow.
Yeah, Rafael, Phil.
I want to encourage everybody Matt. To flip over to Gamecock Central Live on their YouTube channel. Cranked it up for Phil Mullinax. And by the way, you're going to be able to get them on the Chief Sports app pretty soon. Also on our social channels. For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, Jamie Bradford, special thanks to Chris Marler. Check him out on the Locked On Gamecocks podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more Matt Anderson, the late night Gamecock, and Scumbag Car Collector feature. I don't know, man. I'm back to going, I don't know that we should do it.
I know. I just like, maybe y'all should go check it out yourselves.
Go to Scumbag Car Collector on Instagram. Look at the Golden Goose, like the prize of his collection, and just keep an open mind. And understand that this is what this guy does. He collects sports scumbag cards. Like OJ's. Right. He's got OJ. He's got Ray. He's got 200 Ray Rice cards. And you'll see what I mean, man. It's it blew me away.
It may just be like truly the crown jewel of his collection.
It is the crown. I didn't even know such a thing existed. He said same thing.
I know.
But it was. I was like, oh my God. It's in perfect mint condition, dude. What are you doing?
I'm looking like a Norman Rockwell.
And the way he's talking, I'm very excited about this. I haven't even opened it. I just deadpanned it, dude. It was so good.
And it couldn't have been any better if he'd have drawn it up.
No, there was nothing to prepare me for that moment. At all. All right, folks. We'll see you later. It's been the show.